But in Genesis 19, it's nothing new. And I want to preface that because I want you to stay with me when I go through it, when I look at it. We're going to talk about a man named Lot. And the first thing that comes to my mind in Lot, it's not what most people's go to. I look at Lot, and a lot of people, they think of his wickedness. They think of a lot of really what was done in his life that's kind of appalling. And we're gonna talk about some of that. But the first thing that kind of pops in my mind with Lot is in the New Testament, it calls Lot a righteous man. And that stands out to me. But what we're going to do is everywhere we go, I want you to think of this as we go through. Everywhere we go, and in everything that we do, we find something or we find someone that impacts us. Sometimes it's in a good way, and I hope most of them are in a good way, but sometimes it's in a bad way. Sometimes they impact us for good things, but then again, sometimes they impact us in a negative way and towards bad things. And I want to look at kind of two parts in Lot's life and see how he reacted to those things that were influenced by him. Early on in Genesis, we learn of Lot because he was Abraham's nephew. And when you think of Abraham, I think of this giant of the faith. He was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and when he left, he took his daddy and took his nephew with him. And his daddy died very early in the journey. He stopped and he buried his father, but Lot stayed with him. And as he went through, he lived and he saw God bless his man. All throughout Lot's early life, he saw where God's hand was on Abraham. And through the good that Abraham did, even through the bad that Abraham did, he was able to see that early on, how God continued to do a good work and God continued to bless him. And he was able to see every little detail because he was with them all the time. Now, I heard this before I got married, but I didn't really understand it until after I got married. My dad told me, he said, "You never truly know your wife until you get married and you live with her." Now, the good thing is he never said, "Go live with her, see if you like it. And you know, if it's a good relationship, then get married." He told me the right thing to do. Thank you. But he laid it out in a plain way. And he was right. I did not truly know my wife like I do now. When we were dating, I thought I knew her pretty well. We actually dated for over 5.5 years before we actually got married. But how I know her now, 2 years after being married, is completely different after 6.5 years of being in a relationship. Of just a boyfriend and girlfriend, and then even a part of that being, you know, fiancés and being betrothed to one another. But it's a completely different knowledge. So I see Lot having an intimate knowledge of Abraham because he was constantly with him. He traveled with him. And that's a big deal too, because whenever you travel long distances with people, you learn about them. How many of you ever took trips when you were younger? We're set to take one this weekend. We're going to go down to the coast. We're going to try to catch some fish. But you learn a lot by people when you travel with them. You learn when they get tired how they act. And you learn when they're happy about catching a fish or when they're excited about something, you learn how they act. And you see exactly how they are. And so traveling great distances with Abraham, Lot was able to see that. But not only was he able to see it, was he able to have an understanding of Abraham and of how God blesses when you do what you're called to do. Lot actually even received a lot of the blessings as well. And in previous chapters, we're not going to read those. We're just going to touch on them because it's a very familiar story. But Lot had actually received blessings from God the same as Abraham had. As Abraham was able to increase in his wealth and increase with the livestock that he had, increase with everything that he owned, Lot was able to do the same. And with that increase of seeing how God blessed Abraham and God blessed his man, Lot was also blessed with that. He was able to see the benefits of a good, true relationship with God, and he was able to benefit from that himself. He didn't just see it, but he felt it. He knew it. It was real. He could taste it. And one day, this is what a lot of people think of when they think of Lot for the first time. They think of the day that Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen began to fight. And Abraham, with his wisdom, he came to him and he said, we can't stay together if they're going to keep fighting. So he took him on top of a mountain and he said, now you pick which way you're going to go and I'll go the opposite. He said, I love you. You're my family. I don't want to do anything to hurt you. I don't want there to be forever a rift between us. I want a relationship with you still, but we can't stay together. Let's split ways so we can stay close. Let's split ways so we can continue to be a strong family. And Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. A turning point not only in his physical walk, but a turning point then with how he was impacted. Later on we see, let's go ahead and read. In chapter 19, I'm just going to read a few verses and we're going to talk about them a little bit. But in Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 1 it says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street. And he pressed upon them, and he begged them. He desired that they would come in, would turn in with him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, just before these angels came to Sodom, they went to Abraham first. God told him, he said, we're going to destroy Sodom. We're going to destroy where Lot is. And that's the story where Abraham begs God, well, if you find 50 righteous men, will you spare the city? And God says, okay. Then Abraham begins negotiating with God. He said, well, what about 40? Because the Lord said, okay, if we find 40 righteous men, we'll spare it. And Abraham kept trying to negotiate down until I believe it got to 10. So, Lord, if you find 10 righteous people, will you spare the city? He said, yes, I will. These angels are now going to see if they find those 10 righteous men. And they find Lot in a place of prominence. Excuse me. They find Lot at the gate. Now, as many of you know, the gate was actually a very important place of the city. This is where basically their courts were held. People were judged at this spot. The law was actually carried through most of the time at the gate or right close to it. So it was a very prominent spot in a very wicked city that Lot and the house held. I've heard some say that it's even kind of a rising to the status of even a mayor. He was very high up. And he was able to see that. But he remembered where he came from. He remembered what had impacted his life in the past. And when he saw two angels, he recognized them right off. He saw two beings of God, and he recognized them right off. And he knew the situation that he was in, and he begged them to go quickly, to go greatly. He begged them greatly to go into his home. He tried to hide them. And in verse number 4, it says, but before they lay down, this means before they went to sleep, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, come past the house round about, both old and young, and the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and they said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. But now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they... under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, let this one fellow come in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and they came near to break the door. Then this is talking about the angels. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men. The angels smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. The men of the city came. You know the wickedness that was taking place in that city. You know the wickedness that was suggested here with what they wanted to do with these angels as they came. But Lot knew from his past that who the angels were. In fact, he didn't want them defiled, but he even offered his daughters up to be defiled to these men. But they said no, and they started to break his door down, but the angels then stepped in, they shut the door, and they struck all the men that were there with blindness so that they couldn't see it. Lot and his family were then commanded to leave the city because it was going to be destroyed. Lot's influence on his family was gone because, as you see, the only people that were able to come in and to leave with him, it was him and his wife and his two daughters. Any impact he might have had on anybody around him was gone because he had gotten so involved with what was going on. Now it says here that as the men were fussing at Lot, they said, "You came into sojourn, but you've become a judge. You're trying to tell us what we can and can't do, and it's not right." He had come in just to sojourn, to come in and then to leave. But he stayed. And in staying, his testimony was lost at this place. And his impact that he could have had on somebody, his influence that he could have had on somebody was gone. And the only people to leave Sodom to spare for their lives to be spared was Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. But Lot had lost his influence so greatly that his wife looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. Lot lost even his influence with his wife, with his helpmeet, with his friend. Someone who I'm sure had spent long times with them. They had two daughters. I couldn't imagine. To go from having a personal relationship with God, to go from seeing God's blessings, not only on God's man, but even receiving the blessings himself, to where his and Abraham's wealth was almost identical when they split, to having that kind of impact in his life, to then stepping out on his own, to where he could no longer even impact his wife. You know the story. They thought the world had come to an end, and they thought that it was their job to repopulate the earth, so his daughters then get him drunk, and they take advantage of their drunk father, trying to repopulate the earth with that. What he was once able to see and able to have the influence, it was all lost. He lost it with his wife. And he lost it with his daughters. To where the respect was gone, they had to get their daddy drunk and take advantage of it. Leaving a godly influence to turn to make his own decisions, it's not always a bad thing. But where you end up there says a lot about how you were impacted on your journey. When the story is there, when Abraham and Lot are at the top of the mountain looking out, he said the well-watered plains of Jordan was where he wanted to go. He looked out, he saw what he thought was greener fields, greener pastures. He saw a spot that he knew his wealth, his cattle, his sheep could thrive. That decision in itself was not a bad one. But how he allowed things to impact him with each step took him down a path where he lost his testimony and he lost his persuasion, if you will, with those that he loved the most. Very simple thought. That was all introduction for about a 5-minute message. Of course, I've said that before and it was longer. But what have you allowed to influence your life? Over the last few weeks, last few months, even last few years, what have you allowed to bring you to where you are right now? It could be a good place. And if it is, let's praise the Lord. Because if it's a good place, then I know God would be pleased with that. But so often we reach a good place and we get complacent and we fall. We find ourselves in a place to where normally we wouldn't go. We find ourselves in a place that if we were honest with ourselves, it's not where we should be. Lot found himself in a place of wickedness that God himself chose to destroy in a way that's not going to be seen again until the rapture, with fire falling from the skies. Sorry, till the tribulation, not the rapture. He allowed his at one time relationship with God to falter to where he fell and he fell and he fell. I don't know where you are. But don't keep falling. If that's the route that it's been, God's still right there. He's wanting to be with you. He's wanting you to turn to Him and call on to Him so He can show you great and mighty things once again. He's wanting you to rekindle that relationship. He's not moved. He's waiting for you. What are you allowing to impact your life? What are you allowing to come in for either the good or for the bad? Now, I see here really quickly that Satan had a counterfeit in Lot's life. Lot was with Abraham, God's chosen man out of all the people in the world. God's chosen man. Lot was with Abraham. But he chose to depart and he chose to do his own thing. And in doing that, Satan's counterfeit was a place of prominence in a wicked place. But Satan's counterfeit is just that. It's fake. It looks good on the outside. The fields look greener until you get in it. Then the relationship's always lacking from where it could be. I encourage you tonight, if the Lord's speaking to you, saying you need to come back to me, now's a great night to do it. As the Lord's speaking to you and says, you know, I'm proud of where you are, but there's always more that you can do. Let's make tonight that night where we determine within ourselves that through the help of God, we're going to get closer. Through the help of God, we're going to renew our time with Him. We're going to do our best to increase our time with the Lord so that we can become more like Him. What are you allowing to come in? What are you allowing to impact you? And are you at a point that you've lost your impact on others for the cause of Christ? This could be the night that that's all changed. And it could be changed for the better. If you just go back to the Savior. Father, we thank You for the night. Lord, we thank You again for the safety. Lord, I just pray that You'd use this simple thought, Father, of what we allow to impact our lives. Father, use the example that we see in Lot. Lord, that even still he was called a righteous man. That, Father, he did falter. And, Father, when we think of him so often, we think of the bad. But, God, You called him a righteous man. Father, help us to find our way back to You for us that are straying. Father, for us that are as close to You as we can be at this moment, Father, open a door, Father, so we can be even closer. Father, show us where we stray. Father, show us where we fail. And, dear Lord, I pray that You'll grant us the peace, Lord, to find the next step with You. Lord, we thank You again for this day. And God, I ask that You finish the message for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love y'all. Thank you. I'm glad you came out. You always make me feel good when you do. You do. And I'm still waiting to hear y'all sing because y'all make me sing all the time. Of course, I'm just rambling on. This thing's picking up every bit of it. And...